Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for this weekend show. Also your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com. And Cullen Economics Report is our podcast. It was another very busy week. Some days I had upwards of 8 or 9 daily editorials posted. So please be sure, everyone, to go back through the week and listen to all of the company updates and all of the analyst updates. On this weekend show, we are going to be focusing a fair bit on the commodity sector. I am kicking off the show with Jeff Christian. He is a managing partner over at the CPM Group. And Jeff, let's start off with silver, because you are working on your silver yearbook for this year. So let's start off with some of the key drivers. What are the main points that silver investors, or those at least watching the silver market, really need to be aware of this year?
Well, one of the things that we're doing, you know, we've gone through and we're really been paying a lot of attention scrubbing our data on the amount of silver that's available in bullion form, you know, stacked up in depositories around the world. And it's a lot more than a lot of people realize. And so we have an expanded section talking about silver inventories, bullion and bullion coin inventories, and the amount of silver there and where it comes from and how it can be made available. I think there's a tremendous amount of misinformation being kicked around about the availability of silver and its allocation and stuff. So we'll be talking a lot about that. We'll be talking about some of the misinformation that's been circulating on silver and what's really going on. We'll talk about investment demand, fabrication demand, solar power, and mine supply and secondary recovery. So, you know, we'll cover the whole spectrum, but a lot of attention has been on inventories these days.
So what are you seeing in the inventory area? Because if you listen to just the, let's say, Gold Bull or Silver Bull websites, you're going to hear about shortages. Shortage, it sounds like we're always hearing about shortages in precious metals, but what's your research showing you when it comes to silver?
Yeah, the amount of silver in inventories is at record levels. You know, London last week, the London Bullion Market Association said inventories have risen to new record levels of about 1.25 billion ounces. About 725 million of that is allocated to ETFs, but that leaves about 500 million ounces of metal that's not allocated to ETFs that's in London. New York inventories, they're off their peak from last year, but they are quite a bit higher than they've ever been prior to last year. You don't have reported data, but there are maybe 60 depositories throughout China that have a lot of silver. Silver inventories seem to be at record levels in Zurich. So there's a lot of silver. A lot of it's in 1,000-ounce bottles. The tightness and shortages that you've seen primarily have been related to coins and small bars where you know, you have a refinery that will cast these small bars, 10-ounce, 100-ounce bars for investors, and coins that are produced by national mints. And that's where you're seeing the tightness. And it's been exacerbated by an increase in demand from investors who are new to silver coming into the market. So there is some tightness there. There is availability. And then if you want 1,000-ounce bars, you know, there's as much as you want. We do our weekly videos and post them on YouTube, and we just did one where we were showing the premium of 1,000-ounce bars at one of the better depositories in the world. And the premium has gone up from like 1% over the last 12 years to about 2, 2.5%. But, you know, it's not the 10% or 14% that the marketeers are touting on the internet when they, you know, they wave their arms and say, there's no 1,000-ounce bars available, but we've got a few, but we have to charge you 14% for it. No, you know, a reasonable premium for a 1,000-ounce bar is probably about 2.2-2.3% right now. So it's out there.
So, Jeff, what does this mean for the investment landscape then? If you're saying that there is plenty of inventory out there, does that impact price at all?
Yeah, it's funny because we always make this point with gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. The inventories only affect the price if they're in motion. And so one of the major price determinants, one of the major future price determinants for precious metals are the future price expectations of inventory holders. If inventory holders think the price is going to rise, they won't sell, and the price will rise. If they think the price is going to fall, they'll sell, and the price will fall. And you can look at, if you look at silver, because we're talking about silver, you know, you can go back to 1978, 1979, and you can say, wow, there's like 4 billion ounces of silver in bullion inventories, and the price went from $5 to $50. So the bullion inventories, if they're at rest, don't necessarily preclude higher prices. And in fact, because investors tend to chase prices higher and then run from prices as they're falling, you know, the inventories become less important because the investors will bid the price up even though there's plenty of metal around. So, you know, the inventories themselves don't necessarily preclude higher prices. What really counts is what are the price expectations of the people who own those inventories.
Jeff, give us some insights there then. A, who owns these inventories? And B, what's your insights into what their expectations are?
The cool thing about silver and gold is, despite what the conspiracy people think, this stuff is owned by all kinds of people all over the world. And you know, there's a tremendous amount of diversification in it. And right now, I would say that many investors who, you know, if you go back to 2018, 2019, you had a lot of investors who were kind of pessimistic about silver and gold, and that started to change in the middle of 2019. And I think most inventory holders today think or expect the prices of silver to rise further, so they're holding on to it. And what we've been telling our clients is that we do think the price of silver is going to rise sharply. I mean, it rose sharply last year. We think that it'll rise a little bit more this year and next year, but that at some point in the next 5 years, you're probably going to have another financial crisis. And the price of silver goes up to, you know, $40, $45 on an annual average basis. So we're telling our clients, hold on to your silver, buy on the dips. You know, don't buy at 26, but buy at 25. You know, things like that, because we do think that the price will rise, even though there are, you know, there's plenty of silver around. And you need that silver because investors, if you want the price to rise, investors have to buy the silver. And if the silver's not there, they can't buy it.
Absolutely. Jeff, any insights on what your guys' target, let's say at the year end, for silver is, or average silver price for this year?
Well, you know, different people have different views. I mean, right now you've got a lot of guys who are, you know, waving their arms talking about $100 silver. And it's very funny because one of the things that we're doing is we're collecting information. You know, here's a guy who said that silver was going to hit $100 in 1982. And you know what he said last week? Silver was going to hit $100. You know, but realistically, our expectation is that the price of silver is probably going to be around where it is right now, you know, let's say $26, $27 an ounce by the end of this year.
All right, Jeff, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but I'm having you back on next segment, and we're going to dive a bit more into gold and discuss sentiment when it comes to gold, because there's a wide range of opinions of exactly where sentiment, especially when it comes to the generalist, stands for gold. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back with Jeff Christian.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and I am continuing to chat with Jeff Christian, managing partner at the CPM Group. Just a note for everyone listening on the radio, be sure to visit our website and listen to the full versions of these interviews on the weekend show, where we are less time constricted. As promised at the tail end of last segment, Jeff, let's talk about gold. And I want to start with the sentiment towards gold. All I'm hearing right now from a lot of the gold bugs is just how bad sentiment is towards gold. Also hearing a lot about this rebound. And hey, I admit this rebound is encouraging, even the way gold is looking to close this week as we are chatting kind of halfway through the day on Friday. But when you gauge gold sentiment, what are some of the insights you can give us in terms of, is gold the most hated it has been since 2015? Is it just ignored? What are some of the true sentiment numbers around gold that you're watching?
The sentiment numbers are very mixed, and I think it speaks more to the construction of the sentiment indicators than it does to the sentiment toward gold. You know, you can find various sentiment indicators that show that investors, they have the lowest sentiment since 2015 or 2013. But you can look at other numbers, too, and say, well, maybe not. So if you look at the open interest, the gross long open interest of institutional investors on the COMEX, you're at 35 million ounces. That's down from 45 million ounces a year ago, but it's still very, very high compared to anything prior to 2020. You know, there are investors who are quite, you know, they're less bullish than they were in August of 2020, but they're still very bullish. And what we find is when you talk to these guys, you know, I use the term Catskill food. There's the old joke about the two ladies at a Catskill resort, and the one says, this food is terrible, and the other one says, yeah, and the portions are so small. I mean, you'll find an investor who says, hey, you know, I bought gold at $1,200 2 years ago, and it shot up to $2,000, and now it's down to $1,780. You know, I guess the bull market's over. You say, well, are you going to sell it and put your money in stocks? And they look at you and like, no, I'm not insane. So, you know, you've got these guys who are saying, yeah, why isn't the gold price rising? And well, that's partly because it's already risen, and partly it's building a base for the next rise, in our view. You know, so when you find the investors, they say, yeah, I'm kind of negative on gold, but I'm not selling it. And you say, if you want to get them positive on gold, all you say, well, what's your sentiment toward the stock market or the bond market right now? Yeah. And they say, okay, yeah, that's why I'm holding gold, because, you know, I may have some reservations about gold, but I have a lot more reservations about the stock market than I do about gold. So, you know, it's a mixed bag right now, and you're seeing that reflected in the price.
Yeah, that choppy sideways move, although you can say that maybe a double bottom was formed in March, all this analysis around it. Either way, gold has at least dug itself out of the hole that it was in last month. One comment about sentiment is I talk to a lot of generalists, and I use them as more of my sentiment indicators, not the gold bugs. And one thing that I have to say is that a lot of generalists did make money last year in the gold trade, and now, yes, they are largely out of the gold trade, but they're not saying it's a dead market. They're just saying it needs a bit of a uptrend for them to ride, because in all fairness, there are other uptrends that are distracting. Talk about this point, the importance of having an uptrend to bring in these generalists, but then also what I'm hearing, generalists aren't saying gold's going back to 1,000.
No, and so, yeah. It's very funny, like several years ago, like after the big bull market in up to 2011, there was one company that had two guys that were running it, and one of them was interviewed in January of 2012 saying that he thought that gold was going to $2,000, and his partner said, I think it's going to 1,000 in a different interview. And someone asked me, and I said, I think they're both wrong. You know, I don't see it going to $1,000 or $2,000 in 2012. And it didn't. And that's sort of where we are right now. And you get these outsized expectations, both on the upside and the downside, by believers in gold and gold deniers. You know, and it's one of the things about gold. It has this visceral, emotional attachment. You don't see people necessarily arguing about General Electric stocks the way you see them arguing about gold. There's just, you know, there's an emotional aspect to the way investors look at gold, which gets in their way of making money.
Yeah, good point. Okay, Jeff, one other point that I want you to bring up deals with the majors, because you do talk to and you do have clients that are large mining companies. One of the arguments being made about how positive the gold sector is the health of these majors, because they have cleaned up their balance sheets and they are making some good money, building up some cash positions here. How do you view the overall health of the majors in the gold sector?
I think it's a lot better than it had been. I mean, you know, they were really having troubles. Part of the problem with the mining industry is that the gold price or the copper price or the silver price keeps staving in, you know. And these guys really have a trouble with discipline. And, you don't want to complain about them, because I think that's probably a universally human thing. You know, when I have money, I buy a new car. There has been in the past a lot of lack of discipline in the mining industry, and you see some newer executives, newer management in the industry that is trying to avoid that and break that cycle. So, you know, we're starting to see sprouts of green that suggest to us that, you know, maybe the gold mining industry, the majors as well as the mid-sized guys, are taking a more studied view of the gold market and saying, hey, what is the gold market? You know, what drives the gold price, and what could we be doing to market our products? Because there hasn't been a lot of marketing of gold by the gold producers historically. And some of the efforts that they've made have been really maldirected or misdirected. So I think that, you know, we're starting to have executives ask us the right questions for the first time in years.
Final comment then, back to the majors and their health. Do you see them picking up M&A activity anytime soon?
I'm afraid that they will. I would rather see them pour their money into grassroots development and organic development. There are a lot of properties out there that should be developed, but I there's a tendency to focus on M&A instead. And I'd rather see that not happen. Yeah. Partly because I keep losing mining clients to mergers.
Hey, Jeff, I appreciate your insights. It's always great chatting with you. I am sure we'll be chatting again in probably a month's time. But again, Jeff is managing partner at the CPM Group. I really appreciate you taking these first two segments of the show here, Jeff, and have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Work now underway to find the motive behind a deadly mass workplace shooting in Indianapolis. 8 people killed in Thursday's shooting at a FedEx facility. 19-year-old Brandon Hole ID'd as the gunman, the former FedEx employee killed by what appears to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Investigators at Hole's home Friday seizing evidence. President Biden reacting to the shooting.
Every single day, there's a mass shooting in the United States if you count all those who were killed out in the streets of our cities and our rural areas. It's a national embarrassment and must come to an end.
Biden calling for common sense gun violence prevention legislation, and he says he won't give up until it's done. Thousands protesting in Chicago Friday night over a deadly police shooting. 13-year-old Adam Toledo shot to death last month in the city's Little Village neighborhood. Police body cam video shows the boy unarmed with his hands up as he shot. This is USA Radio News. Protesters arrested in Minnesota. About 100 people arrested Friday night in the sixth night of protests over the death of Dante Wright, the 20-year-old shot to death by Brooklyn Center police officer. That officer charged with second-degree manslaughter. China Whitaker, the mother of Wright's 2-year-old son.
I'm just really hurt for my son because, like, he doesn't have his father now. And it's like, it's kind of stressful on me because, like, I really don't want to do this by myself.
Whitaker also expressing gratitude for the support she has received since Sunday's shooting. The number of COVID deaths worldwide now over 3 million. That grim milestone reached Saturday based on numbers by Johns Hopkins University. The U.S. recording the most deaths, over 566,000. According to JHU, 9 countries have yet to record a COVID death, including the Holy See. Meanwhile, Virginia reporting its first 2 cases of a variant strain from Brazil. The P1 strain now present in at least 23 states. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, we are going to continue to focus in the resource sectors. I am chatting with Brian Lenny, founder and editor of the Junior Stock Review website, also the premium newsletter. Now, Brian, we're going to talk about a company that you recently recommended to your subscribers about a week or two ago. The company is Montage Gold, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MAU. The company holds the Morondo Gold Project in West Africa, in Cote d'Ivoire. Now, the current resource stands at a little over 3 million ounces at right around a gram per ton, just under a gram per ton. Brian, I have to ask you, what initially attracted you to this company? Why recommend them now?
Thanks for having me, Corey. I think without a doubt, it was the people that attracted me first. The CEO, Hugh Stewart, who is the president of Orca Gold, basically where this project or this company was kind of spun out of. If you look at his track record, and I was able to meet him in person, a friend of mine, Nick Germain, invited me to come into the meeting with him back in the 2019 Beaver Creek, and I'm really glad I did. Meeting Hugh Stewart, this guy's got a tremendous track record for not only discovering or being part of teams that have discovered gold deposits, but more importantly, gold deposits which have become mines. And by my count, there's four main projects, and I'll screw the names up, but I'll say one of them that people might recognize is Toronto, which is a Kinross deposit or Kinross mine in Ghana. And his current one with Block 14, and that's in Orca. So, you know, Kone is one of those deposits, which I think is going to be his next kind of home run. And that history of finding quality projects that work is definitely what has attracted to me. And, you know, the people that support him, you know, you've got the Lundin family, you've got Sandstorm Gold, and you've got a couple of really good institutional investors, too, that have come in the last IPO, which I think, you know, show the confidence in this management team and the project that they've put together as this, you know, developed it as a private company leading up to last fall's IPO. So to me, that was the basis of it. And the other side to it is the, you know, the price to value ratio. Right now, in my calculation, the company's selling for roughly 15% of its value. And I think considering what's going to happen over the next 12 months, I think it's pretty clear that there's going to be a re-rating. So that's the basis of my investment.
Okay, let's talk about that value then, because the company, look, they have a, well, resource, over 3 million ounce resource. They're going through a PEA right now. Did you run your own model? Is that what you are basing that 15% value currently off of?
Yes, yeah, so I did my own calculation, and I used basically the gold price we see today, around $1,700 to run the model at, and I get an after-tax net present value of around $500 million. So if you do the calculation at $70 million today, that's roughly 15%. You know, some people might think that's kind of rich for a company that doesn't have an economic study. But in my view, I think the price is sort of right. I think the market's kind of saying that, okay, they basically do have a PEA. But I think the fact that it's going to move to the feasibility study and they're fully funded to do that, I think is pointing maybe the key point there, to make. Yeah, so it's based off my calculation. I think my calculation might actually be a little bit conservative, but, that's typically how I do it.
So what did it show then? Around, let's say, $500 million in NPV from what you ran?
Yeah. Yeah, right around there. And things change. Like I think there's an opportunity for them to outline at least one satellite deposit. They have a target called Petit Yao. They dropped a couple holes in there last year, and they came back with some great results. If you remember from your description, the main deposit is sub a gram, or right around a gram, is 0.8 grams per ton. The mineralization at Petit Yao is, you know, it's over 3 grams per ton in what they've kind of outlined in a few holes. And so if they're able to outline a couple hundred thousand ounces there, anything that would justify a starter pit, that would make a tremendous impact to the NPV. And you're talking about, you know, 3 or 4 times the grade at the main deposit. So, you know, this is very impactful. And so I think there's definite ways where the company can add value, and, you know, very cheaply, especially for all things considered.
Well, the company does have a 35,000-meter drill program underway as well. So is that program split up between further de-risking or upgrading the resource and then also testing for these satellite deposits, especially at Petit Diao?
Exactly, yeah. It's to move that resource from inferred up into the measured and indicated, and then they can use it in the feasibility study that's due at the end of the year. So it's very systematic. And then there will drop more holes in Petit Yao, and I'm very interested because, you know, it could be very impactful if they have found something that's, you know, it's near surface. And like I said, a starter pit that's 3 or 4 times the grade of your main deposit could have a very positive impact to cash flow early on in the NPV and in the mine life, and that would positively impact NPV.
Okay, so when it comes to the re-rate potential, when we see whatever number it comes out of from the PEA in terms of net present value, you can't assume that the stock and market cap is going to jump up to that PEA level, especially when, well, already you're saying that the company is a bit undervalued for what they have. So where do you find that sweet spot in terms of what you think the re-rate potential is, understanding that it's still going to be the overall market cap, that is, a discount to that NPV?
You know, I think it's all things considered. I think it's, you know, the people that are involved, the people that support it, the amount of cash that they've been able to raise, you know, they're fully funded in 2022 and they're fully funded past, I think, a major milestone in any development project's lifespan. I don't expect, if we're in the market that we're in today, I don't expect the PEA to do that much. You know, there's still a lot of doubt in the and towards sentiment in the sector, and therefore, you know, I don't really expect to see a huge jump from the PEA. But when you consider in the next 9 months that they're going to move from a PEA to a feasibility level study project, and they're plus 3 million ounces, and they're up about well above the 100,000 ounce per year mark in terms of production profile, there just aren't a lot of these out there. And I think that, you know, and I do suspect that we'll see a stronger gold market at the longer we go here. I think all those things kind of align to a positive re-rating, and, you know, at least a double in the future. My price target right now is around $2.20, and, you know, things have to align for that to happen. But I think, you know, I suspect that there's a high probability that's going to happen.
Now, any jurisdictional risk that you're placing in Côte d'Ivoire, where the project is?
Yeah, without a doubt. Right now, this is my only position in Africa and West Africa specifically. Côte d'Ivoire had their presidential election last fall, and there was some turmoil, 100%. And I was following that myself, you know, as Montage IPO'd, there was turmoil within the country. And the former president, he re-won, and that's kind of where the turmoil had come. But in the months since, in the news flow that I've been following, and it was a part of my decision, I wanted to see a calm country before I put myself and my subscribers' money at risk. And it's been pretty quiet. In fact, you know, some of the reports show that there's cooperation between the two main parties within the country. And then, so I think that's a pretty good sign. But it's something you always want to track. And I guess the other side to it is, you know, people forget that you can have political turmoil even in the best jurisdictions. You know, look at the States last fall. Like, there was quite a bit of turmoil there too. So, you know, anything can happen anywhere. But if you have a discount of your underlying value, which I believe we have, to me that justifies the risk taken with the jurisdiction.
All right, Brian, we're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for sharing one of the recent recommendations you've made. And as I've said multiple times, I really do respect the research that you do and all the work you do building out these models to have a fundamental case for why you think companies are undervalued, especially these ones that are a bit more advanced. Be sure to check out Brian's website, juniorstockreview.com. Brian, thanks for your time this weekend. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, Corey.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast?
We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
To wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, I am bringing on Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc, because, Doc, I know a lot of people do want to hear your updated outlook for the precious metals especially. We are going to get into a couple of the stocks as well that you are trading, both buying and selling. Let's start off with the gold price, though. The argument being that gold put in that double bottom back in March, and in April now we are starting to see still that uptrend. Gold this week, as we're recording it just before the close, is above that 1775 level, and that's a key level, plus that 1750 level is a key level, and also the levels reached this week are higher than the highs even in March. So, Doc, I have to ask you, is any of this encouraging for your outlook for gold?
It's encouraging that we're getting a rebound here in April, Corey. I think that's very encouraging from the standpoint of helping the continual grinding down that we're seeing. We're not seeing tremendous drops in the price, which I really feel good about. But having said that, one of the things you ought to look at today, which I found to be a little disconcerting, is that gold was up about 14 bucks. I don't know what it is right now. I think it's still up about 14 bucks. But the gold stocks are not performing that well. And that has to tell you volumes. And a lot of these stocks have not performed. Now, some of the major producers have done better, but the rest of them are not showing me any anticipation that this move is a long-term move.
But, Doc, isn't that encouraging that the majors and the royalty companies have been doing better? Because you look at something like GDX and the so-called double bottom that we're referring to in gold. In GDX, it was actually a higher low that was set up, and now GDX has taken out a couple of at least short-term resistance levels and is trading at levels that we haven't seen since January. So the majors are looking good, and the majors are usually what move first in a market that has been in that long of a correction.
That's true, and that is encouraging. But and also encouraging on the monthly is the Upper Bollinger Band is tilting a little bit up on GDX, which makes me feel a little bit better. But what bothers me here a lot, Corey, is when you look at the monthly chart on gold and you look at the momentum indicators, we're still up at levels that I don't like to see for the beginning of another major leg up. We're too high. And I'd rather see us continue to move down here to build a base lower so the next move we get is really significant. And that's what worries me a little bit. In fact, if you look at the monthly chart, and I had mentioned that on your site a while back that when May calendar when the April calendar turned, that I felt this could be a consolidation a month for gold based on what I saw on the monthly chart when the calendar changed into April. And that's what we're seeing. But having said that, when you look at the 12-month moving average versus the 26-month moving average, the 12-month has approached it a little bit. And I have a feeling that when the calendar changes, turns in May, we're going to see the 12-month start turning down again. And we could see that in May and June. And so I'm not as bullish right now that this is a significant move, not yet. And so that's what I'm looking at right now, Corey.
What about some other technical factors like the RSI? That has dropped from an extreme overbought level about halfway through last year down to about that neutral level, bounced almost perfectly off that 50 level, plus the slow stochastics. Those have also come down from overbought levels down to right around the neutral level. In a true bull market, wouldn't you expect these technicals to bounce at this neutral level and provide that extra boost? Again, being in a bull market where we do see overbought levels regularly?
Yes, that is true. But you go back, and what I'd hate to see is if you go back to 2011-12, and when we got a double topping, and then we came down hard after that second topping, and then we were in the desert for 5-6 years. I don't want to see that happen again. I don't want to see us moving up here, because if you double top, you don't have much room to the upper side on these momentum charts to really take us even higher. And it would be better to consolidate down here for a while and then start the run later and see these momentum indicators moving down. And that's why I'm not into the camp of this is necessarily a move that's going to be a positive thing for us going forward.
So, Doc, let's talk about some of the stocks that you're buying and selling. Let's start off with some of the stocks that you're buying that you think, even though gold might not be going anywhere, that still have some upside potential for you.
Well, I bought interesting news, and I'm doing this not only on fundamentals, because some of them, you know, are doing a lot of drilling, and I'm in an anticipation mode, but based on some of the fundamentals. But one of them is, and I purchased it this morning, is Bonterra. I like some of the things they're talking about. But what I like particularly about it is that it particularly on the monthly chart, the Bollinger Bands are really narrowing. And plus, they had a little breakout yesterday and today. I like that activity on the daily chart. And now the pricing is right at the upper Bollinger Band with the lower Bollinger Band turning up. Plus, they're doing a ton of drilling. But also, they have just about the only mill in the gold-producing area they are, with a lot of other smaller companies in the area that may depend on them in the future. And so I like when I'm seeing technically on the stock. So I bought some Bonterra today, and I'm not recommending it. I'm just telling people what I'm doing. Another one that nobody's talked about for a long time is a project generator. That's Marisol. And Marisol has woken up a little bit lately. And what I like about that is the same thing as Bonterra. They have quite a drilling program this year. But not only that, on the chart technically again, and they moved up a little bit. They were down around 35 cents at one time. They went up to 65. Now they're coming back a little bit. But I love their monthly chart again. It's one of the narrowest Bollinger bands I've seen in a long time. And so it's worth purchasing some. Plus, they have a big drilling program, and they're not your typical project generator where they're doing work for others. But they actually own a couple of mines that they're working on personally themselves to advance. And so it's kind of an interesting play, and I'm just taking a little bit of a speculative, move on them. Oh, and Corey, I might add is the fact that on this pullback by Novo Resources, I, like everybody else, was not exactly enamored with the responses that were given on that placement. But I am going to be purchasing down this in this area. It did drop in the first day I purchased, and now it's kind of bottoming. And it's going to bottom for a while down here, by the way, in the next week and a half. So I'll be purchasing a little bit more. I have mentioned in the past I purchase whenever the stock drops below $2. So I think the reaction might have been a little bit overdone. And I think long term I'm still looking at keeping my position in this company unless the technicals tell me to get out of it.
Okay. Doc, thanks for taking some time and sharing your outlook for the sector. And even though it's not, let's say, uber bullish, it is a bit more encouraging than what you have been sharing with us over the last few months. And in all fairness, you have been spot on in terms of that drift, that continued drift in gold. And now, well, a little bit of a rebound, but it sounds like we should just be looking for more of a range-bound trade for a little while. Doc, I appreciate your time on this weekend show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in to the weekend show. Please keep all the emails coming, fleck@kereport.com. And please let me know what you think of any of the companies that I featured this week on the show. It was a very busy week, and we're seeing a lot of new listeners come to the site. I appreciate all of you taking the time and listening. And again, keep those emails coming because I am here to help all of you, the investors, out. Doc, everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one business book in the world. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, two-time national best-selling author and owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold firm in the country. We help investors put physical metals inside their IRAs. My first book, Gold is a Better Way, sparked a movement. My new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one book in the country. I believe every investor should own physical metals. It's why I'm giving away my best-selling book to anyone with an IRA with over $100,000 for free. Call 800-900-8000 to get the bestseller, The Great Devaluation, sent directly to your door. That's 800-900-8000. The new decision is now obvious. Don't you deserve to do it with the best? Call 800-900-8000 for your free book today. That's 800-900-8000.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.